Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies. Today I'm interviewing Sue Hitzman, exercise physiologist, manual therapist, founding member of the Fascia Research Society, creator and author of the New York Times bestseller, Melt Method, and author of the newly released book, Melt Performance. Too many of us are stressed out and putting our bodies through repetitive movements that are causing us pain and setting us up for even more chronic pain. It's time to rewire your movement patterns by connecting you to your fascia. The tissue wrapping that senses where you are in space holds onto your stress, controls joint stability, and when the nerves in it are signaling properly, it makes you stronger. With her experience as a personal trainer, fitness instructor, and competitive cyclist, Sue understands the athlete mentality of no pain, no gain. And through her own battle with pain, she created the Melt Method and now the Melt Performance to help desk jockeys, weekend warriors, and athletes alike rewire their movement patterns in 10 minutes a day to get out of pain and stay out of pain. Well, are you excited to talk to Sue? I sure am. Here's Sue. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we are talking about Melt Performance, Sue Hitzman's new book. And I can't wait to dive into this because I have been geeking out on this book for about the last 2 weeks. So Sue, say hello to The Health Fix.
Hi, everybody.
All right. So let's talk about melt and melting and the whole concept of this, because I think for a lot of people who are jumping on the podcast today, I think the concept of myofascial energetic length technique, otherwise known as melt, is a different concept. Sue, tell us a little bit more about what is happening when we're melting our bodies.
Well, I mean, melt in and of itself is a self-care technique to help people get out and stay out of chronic pain by using the connective tissue system, our fascial system, as a vehicle to transform our nervous system and our sensing and feeling self. So we use soft balls and soft rollers to explore our body in a way where touch and movement can facilitate transformation through, again, restoring the fluid components of fascia, of connective tissue.
So one thing that you highlight that I really love a lot in your book and what you just mentioned now is soft balls and soft techniques, because I'm looking online and I've dabbled in the CrossFit world, and it seems that everywhere you look, you're looking at jam this lacrosse ball there and just crank it until you basically go numb or you can't take the pain anymore, or you know, take this gua sha tool and just rock the heck out of that fascia. Let's talk a little bit about how this soft technique is much more effective for the everyday person.
Sure. Well, you know, what you're describing is what is usually termed self-myofascial release. Mm-hmm. And the concept of that is to restore blood flow to muscle by manipulating the tissue. And if you go, just like how you say, you go on YouTube and you type in self-myofascial release, you're going to see a bunch of smart people telling you to iron yourself like a shirt, and when you find a lumpy area, you're going to land on it, dig it out like you'll win an award for inflicting pain on your body. And to some extent, I mean, maybe that is effective to, I don't know what you're doing, but I can say that the whole philosophy of this, you know, no pain, no gain is very much still a part of the fitness industry. And sadly, the dirty little secret of fitness is that the majority of fitness professionals have chronic injuries, chronic pain, chronic problems, and addressing it through these sort of very impactful methodologies, I don't know if that's really working for us, because we, you know, it's kind of an epidemic in the fitness industry, all the injuries. So my understanding of connective tissue is it is a three-dimensional fluid-based architectural matrix under your skin. This continuous matter is the stability architecture of our form. And along with the collagen and the fluid components called interstitial fluids, this tissue creates a global continuum to stabilize, support, and protect every component of your body. It's what gives your skin its youthful appearance. It gives your muscles synergy. It gives your joints shock absorption. But it also gives every nerve, every blood vessel, and every cell in your body a stable environment to function efficiently in. And my philosophy with, especially when you're doing compression on the body, and what I can tell you about fascia is that if you press too deep, too fast into your body with any type of an object, whether it be somebody's elbow or a lacrosse ball or a foam roller, what we fail to realize is that in our superficial fascia, the stuff that everybody hates in fitness, because that's where all your fat is, that, you know, people want to suck out, and now that everybody's freezing their fat out of their body, because we just don't like it. We don't like the appearance of its texture. There are billions of free nerve endings living in that layer, proprioceptors, mechanoreceptors, interoceptors, all of these sensory receptors informing the brain about what's going on, both outside the form and within us. And if you compress too deep, too fast, the connective tissue is designed to pre-stress, to resist compression or tension so that you don't damage anything underneath. So most often, I feel when people are going too deep, too fast, you get a resistance in the body. You see people squinting their faces. You see the grimace on their face. You see them clenching muscles as they're ironing themselves like a shirt. And so, in fact, it hurts you more when you go at your body like that. But you may not be getting actually deep at all. And if what you want to do is affect the architecture that stabilizes stuff to improve its functionality, then you need to understand how the entire network works and how you can ease compression in, explore the tissue, and melt, we call that gliding, to prepare and explore the tissue for any areas that feel sensitive, any areas that feel stiffened or non-compliant to the compression. And then you shear to create mechanical force against the many fibrous layers, if you will, of the tissue from skin to bone. And then you rinse it to draw the fluid flow through the matrix, because the fluid from fascia drives itself through these pre-lymphatic channels into the lymphatic system, which is how we drain toxins and waste and metabolites out of the body. So I feel like melt is a much more intelligent, intuitive, embodied type of practice, rather than you trying to, take a lump out of your body, or these knots people refer to in their muscles. Instead of focused on eliminating something, what we're doing is repleting, not depleting the body of something. We're trying to restore something, trying to bring something back to its ideal function. And that's really the principle. So I always say melt's not a myofascial technique, it's a neurofascial technique. We're in fact not just trying to restore fascia's stability, but we're really trying to affect the body's stability. And I mean that on all levels, emotional, chemical, psychological, physiological, because in fact, it's all connected, the nervous system and fascia. So we call it a neurofascial technique, a way to restore neurological efficiency through fascial stability, through restoring the fascial matrix.
Oh my gosh. Let's see, where do I begin with this? Well,
that was a mouthful.
No, it's great, because what you highlighted on in terms of the neurofascial technique, I've found that over time, let's face it, as all practitioners of body work, you know, myself as an acupuncturist, but I also do a lot of body work on my patients. I do a lot of internal work as a naturopathic doctor. I'm always trying to find what works best, right? And we dabble in all different areas. And I came to find your techniques back in about 2004, 2005, while I was still at Bastyr in school. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then you see different things, and then you try all these different things out. And I've kind of come full circle in that if someone was even seeing me a year ago, I was still trying to use these more brutal techniques with gua sha and some of the lacrosse ball releases with folks. And I came full circle in that. I'm like, this doesn't work. And something we talked about really briefly when we were talking in our intro was about the facial expressions. And you just mentioned, like, people are grimacing. They're making, you know, these horrible faces like they're going through torture. I almost wonder if some of these facial expressions are indications of where they should be focusing on and some of the trauma that's in the body. Because I see that a lot of people who work out on a regular basis, oftentimes, if you get to the nitty-gritty of why they're working out so hard, there's usually some underlying trauma that they're trying to work out. So what I found is it's definitely counterintuitive to beat these bodies up even further when they're muscle-bound and stiff already. It's almost like you're inflicting more trauma. And of course, I do not want to do that. I want to get rid of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're saying so much here. I mean, there's so much, you know, and you know, you're so ahead of so many people's mindsets in your practice. I mean, you said a few things, right? You have a lot of tools in your toolbox, which is what every great practitioner does, right? I mean, I've got like 80 different certifications and so many things. You know, you just compile and amass information and then try to assimilate it into your practice. So that's one thing. You know, to me, it's not that, like, I mean, I think Hua Sha and some of these practices are actually very effective. It's more who's using it and if somebody's self-applying it or you have a skilled practitioner. And I think that's a big thing. There's such a huge gap between self-care and exceptional practitioners. You know, like, there's a lot of mediocre practitioners, quite frankly, and there's a lot of mediocre self-care as well. So, you know, it's not that Hua Sha or heavy compression force, like, I mean, Rolfing, my gosh, I've had just, you know, incredible life-changing experiences doing those types of things, Graston technique, Hua Sha, like with somebody who has massive scar tissue built up. But the thing about a practitioner who's using that is that I've been taught what we call the indirect before direct approach. So you would work away from the area of damage and then work toward that rather than going right after it. And in self-care, I feel like we're a little masochistic sometimes about it. Like, if our neck is hurting us, the very first thing we want to do, right, is jam a ball into our neck and annihilate the thing and make it stop hurting us. Stop hurting me. I need to annihilate this piece of my body. And I always say, you know, those areas of our body that are screaming out for our help are the victims. And so if a kid was crying out for your help, you wouldn't walk up to him and punch him in the face. You would go find the problem. But in our bodies, we don't tend to take the time to really listen to what our bodies are trying to tell us. And further, we tend to wait until our body is screaming at us at the top of its lungs to take action before we actually go, I think there might be something wrong, right? So what we call that in MELT is we have these pre-pain signals that our body is trying to alert us that, hey, something's not quite right, but we miss those pre-pain signals. And again, we wait, we let them accumulate. And then when it's something, you know, I don't know, so terrible, then we finally take action. And usually people don't go right to self-care. They go right to a doctor. They go outside of themselves to try to figure out the answer. They still don't go in, even when their body is saying, please come in here and save me. We actually do just the opposite. We go further away from ourselves to try to find somebody else to fix us. And you said it so well there, is that oftentimes, why is it, if you really get down to the nitty gritty, why is it that we train so hard? Why is it that we work out the way that we do? Oftentimes, it's, and I'm saying this in a very flat, matter-of-fact way, is that we don't like what we see in the mirror. We don't like ourselves. And so we want to change ourselves. We need to constantly be in a state of transformation to become something else. And so we're not living very presently. We tend to think about what we want to be in the future, and we're always striving for that thing in the future, but we're not really very present in the moment of why we're really doing things. And you're right, our facial expressions can communicate really very personal information, including subjective emotions, communicative intent, cognitive appraisal. I mean, you know, our facial expressions are oftentimes manifested by what's going on inside of our bodies. And I think we all know that, right? We can look at our friend, and just from their facial expression, you can be like, hey, is everything okay? And you're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you don't look okay. You look like you're frustrated almost. And, you know, on goes this story that your friend finally shares with you because you expressed interest in that facial expression and you connected with them, and out comes whatever the problem is, the story. But, you know, in the net of the net, I think that you're asking great questions like, why are we working out? Why are we doing these things to ourselves? Do we really know what the body is asking us? Have we spent enough time in our bodies understanding what the real problem is? Or are we, like the medical field, very symptom-oriented, focused on symptoms, but never really embodying what might be the cause of us feeling these emotions, dredging up the past, you know, bringing it to the present moment to transform? Why is it we're doing things, and are we really listening to the body's messages, or are we just trying to shut our bodies up by beating it up through these modalities that we're faced with, telling us that this is gonna, you know, make us have less cellulite, so I'm going to love myself more in the mirror, or I've got to, you know, train really hard to have big muscles so somebody's going to love me, or whatever it is. That's a real deep piece of why we do all things in life. Why do we do the things that we do? But I think it's a really great question, because I think our fascial system is, again, the stability system of the body. And even on an emotional level, I think that the fascia holds a memory of our past and also carries in it information for future intentions and for our, you know, overall well-being in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see this on a daily basis with patients in my office. In fact, when you were talking, I was thinking about my one fella. He's been in a plane crash. He's been in a couple of terrible car accidents and survived all of this. And his tissue is locked down. It's like beef jerky in there and crunchy and hard to move around. And after each session, you know, I kind of played around in terms of feeling like, okay, should I go soft? Should I go deeper? Should I go, you know, how does he do well with this? And then I started to teach him melt techniques. And the most important one out of all of it, which I want you to talk a little bit more, is the body scan. Because now he's like, okay, he's a pilot, right? So he's like, he's very regimented in terms of how he does things. And so he goes, every morning I sit down and I do my body scan. And he's like, and then I decide which movements I'm going to do. So tell the folks on the Health Fix a little bit about the body scan component of the MELT program and how you can utilize that to guide yourself in terms of what type of work should you do that day for your body.
Sure, sure. So, well, first, what you're talking about is what we call the four R's of MELT: reconnect, rebalance, rehydrate, and release. And the first R of MELT is reconnect. And what I always say is, you know, what the reconnect techniques do is they allow you to go into your body and sense what you feel rather than focusing on where you have pain problem or focusing on your pain. What we try to get people to do is scan their bodies for what I call stuck stress or fascia that is resistant to resting. Areas where you feel tight, areas where you feel restriction, areas where you feel what I call the common imbalances. And the way I came up with that was, you know, just putting my hands on clients. I have, you know, put my hands on tens of thousands of people at this point over my career. And what I can tell you is, especially people who are suffering with some type of chronic pain, when I would lie them on the floor, I would explain what I call the four most common imbalances. And I said, there's four that many people possess that are left unaddressed from day to day. And these are the ones that destabilize our core and compress our neck and low back unnecessarily. And the problem with that is that the free nerve endings that are around those regions, and of course the nerve roots coming out of the spine, are oftentimes so impacted through these common imbalances that it alters what I call the autopilot, the parts of our body that support, protect, and stabilize us involuntarily. And again, we don't know when our autopilot isn't functioning well until we actually have symptoms. So what the body scan gives people the opportunity to do is if they're in pain, it gives an interruption in their brain's desire to call out a pain region, and instead draws the attention back into the body to sense what a person feels. And for those people that don't have pain, it's a great way to, again, reconnect into the body and scan the body for these common imbalances before they accumulate and cause pain. And that's really 90% of avoiding chronic issues is going into our body and sensing what we feel before we just, you know, assume that our body needs a thing that we're going to apply to it. And your client has said it just well. As I lie down on the floor and I scan my body and I let my body tell me what it needs today. And that's like mega. I mean, you've elevated this person's reconnection with their body so that they can actively participate in improving their autopilot's efficiency. And it's such a skill to have. And again, you can really avoid mishaps by just realizing that your body is actually giving you subtle signals. And once you learn what those subtle signals are, and that's what you learn in the MELT method, is what are pre-pain signals, what are the common imbalances, and then eliminate them. Eliminate those, and you reset your body to a more stable space and see how your body reacts and responds to that. And the beauty is that the body can restore balance, and it doesn't take so much to make that happen. You just have to know how. And that's, again, what you learn in the MELT method, is how to restore the body back to a place of centering, a place of balance and stability, and then move from that area and see what you get. And most people will feel a whole lot better pretty quickly. That's the nice thing about MELT, is that in a single session, you can transform yourself back to a more ideal state. And that, again, is like an interruption in your autonomic functions and can help the autopilot reacquire efficiency.
You said it perfectly. I actually did this morning, everybody. So just to give a little proof to Sue's technique here, I actually will start my morning off just lying on the floor and going, all right, what's soft today? And I was feeling my right hip pulling, and I was feeling my right foot at the heel. I'm feeling some Achilles pain. And so I did the body assessment, noticed that. And then I proceeded to work on my feet. I did the performance foot treatment, which, by the way, guys, is in the MELT book. And it's similar to what, if you've been to a physical therapist, it's similar to what basic techniques they would give you for working with plantar fasciitis, if you've ever heard of that, so heel pain. But Sue takes it to a whole nother level. And I'm not kidding you. You do your body assessment. You do the moves that she's talking about. And it's sheer and it's indirect and direct. And we don't have to go into all of that. You guys got to get the book to do that. There you go. We're not giving away all the secrets today. But you go through it and then you reassess. And I'm not kidding. You feel absolutely different. And you can even reassess in between one side and the other. And you feel absolutely different. And I think one of the things, Sue, that we should talk about with folks here is that the whole concept of muscles and the concept of, you know, folks coming in and they're super muscle bound and they're walking stiff, like they're almost carrying buckets, some of these really big buff guys, or even some of the athletes who are muscle bound and they're like, I'm so strong because I've got these strong muscles. But the missing link is that you can have the strongest muscles you want, but they're not stable. And I want you to talk about your stability test in particular with this concept of strong muscles without unstable joints, because I don't know how bad I've failed all of both of your stability tests. But let's talk about these stability tests for a second in terms of muscles and stability.
Right. Well, that's just it. It's, you know, muscles are kind of like the dumb jock in the body. They're coming along for the ride no matter what you do, because what basically happens is that your brain is just sending down motor response, motor impulse, and then certain motor units will activate and your muscles contract and you move. And the thing about stability is if you're stable. And I mean that on every level. I mean, I want to say that again. When we're talking about stability, I'm talking about whole body stability, structural, emotional, psychological, chemical, neurological, hormonal, cellular, structural, like the whole kit and caboodle of stability is revolving around the neurofascial system. Those two systems are providing you stability involuntarily without you having to think about it. Now, if you had to think about stability, first of all, like, you know, oh my gosh, I've got to get up out of a chair. How am I going to do that? That's one thing. But then, you know, thinking about movement, really an athlete's not really thinking about how they're moving. Your brain just ignites neurological pathways and it kind of anticipates how you want to move and ignites these motor units and away you go. But the problem with muscle is that you can be as strong as an ox and be neurologically unstable, because what the brain is designed to do when it has what I call like roadblocks, you know, if you really think about how the brain works, neurological pathways are like highways or like super highways. But if there's traffic on the highway, your brain's not going to be like, oh, forget it. We're not moving today. Instead, it just takes a detour and gets on a side street to get you where you want to go in relatively the same amount of time. But the thing is, on the weekends, you know, when you can sleep in because there's no traffic on the highway, by habit, you take the compensation pathways. And so what you basically do is you have compensation for stabilization because your body's going to the path of least resistance. And what it feels like in a body is that you suddenly have to train even harder to get the same results that you got 2 years ago. But now it's like it's harder for you to actually make the gains. And what I trying to explain to people is what sometimes we train ourselves into is becoming a very strong, dysfunctional body. We actually get better at managing our instability until pain or injury really knocks us down, and then you lose all your short-term gains and you're kind of back to square one. So when it comes to stability, stability can be assessed through a lot of things. Like, I mean, if people are listening and if you just put both feet on the floor and take your right arm and reach it up overhead with your index finger held high, close your eyes and take your left index finger and touch the tip of your right index finger and see if you get right to the tip. And you might actually notice that you miss it. Mm-hmm. And then, right? And if you do it on the other hand, you reach your left arm up and you close your eyes and you reach your right finger up, that one, you might get it. But on the other side, you didn't. And I always say, here's the thing, your finger's attached to you. How come your brain doesn't know where it is? If you think of the joints like satellites, it's almost like as connective tissue becomes dysfunctional, as it becomes out of balance in its fluid state, in its three-dimensional, what we call tensegrity architecture, its ability to manage tension and compression through the whole matrix, it's like the satellites go down. So it's kind of like having interference, you know, like when you go underground with your phone and suddenly you can't get a connection. It's kind of that same thing. You don't not get something, you just, it's not a clear signal. And that's kind of happening for a lot of people. And especially in the fitness industry, this is how we get injured. And most of the injuries in fitness are in fact not acute traumas, right? Like sometimes they are, like a football player getting tackled and breaking their neck. Okay, that's an acute trauma. You know exactly what happened. There was a tackle, you fell wrong, whatever, you break a bone, there it is. But most injuries in fitness are caused by something I call sudden chronic pain. It's like you did the same down dog you've done 10,000 times. You do the same deadlift, the same Olympic lift, the same pull-up, the same whatever, but this time your shoulder pops or your hamstring goes or you get a spasm in your back. And the thing is, like, it's the same thing. It seems like an acute thing because it happened right. You know exactly what happened. You can tell somebody, but like, you know, doing a down dog isn't a traumatic event. You know, doing a deadlift isn't an acute trauma, right? But the accumulative stress in the body, it's just time over tension overload. And then finally something goes. But again, before that moment, you actually had all sorts of messages that your body, I'll guarantee, was telling you, and you just ignored it and pushed yourself through those imbalances because you just didn't know that you should get rid of it. You just figured, oh, I'm just going to keep, you know, no pain, no gain, man. If my back's not hurting me, I'm not doing enough. And it's just, it's a mentality kind of a shift that we need to take to learn to test our stability and not wait for instability to stop us in our tracks. And again, lose all the short-term gains. And then you're kind of just back to square one, you're gaining weight, you hate yourself, and then you're frustrated because it takes you so long to recover, because the system that recovers you, that the healing system, is the fascial system and your nervous system. Those are the systems that heal you, not your muscles. Your muscles have never healed a thing. So, you know, we just don't know, I don't think, enough about the human body, especially in the fitness industry. We don't know enough about embryology or physiology, really, in fitness. People just know that, you know, bending my elbow with a weight in my hand is going to make my bicep bigger. But that's not a very whole body philosophy. It's very segmental, and I think a lot of people are segmentally flexible, like yogis. They're very hypermobile in their joints, but their muscles actually don't have nice elasticity. And with bodybuilders, we tend to get really locked tight, and that throws our own structure off in these odd ways, and we cause strain in, again, the fibrous elements that stabilize us until, you know, we blow a disc out in our back. It's just a mindset thing. I think we just need to change our mind about what fitness is, and what healthy is. And, you know, just realize that if an instability and compensation persist, pain or whatever you want to call it, an unpleasant feeling, is almost always the result. It's just what happens.
Absolutely. I think you're on a very good point with the fitness industry, because I've dabbled in all areas of that, and it seems like, oh, you've got a little bit of pain, or if, like you said, if little pain, just push through. But if you have no pain, you're not doing it right, which is so crazy, because you're like, oh, I should hurt. I should have that 2-day afterburn, you know, from all my squats. I should have trouble getting on and off the toilet. And you're like, oh my God, what? I mean, when I think back to what I went through with doing the different sports that I've been through, and going like in my head, oh, I'm supposed to hurt. Wait, what?
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking about, okay, how can I get stronger? How can I get faster? And looking at the data that you have in terms of the one lifter and his bench press was absolutely stronger when you did some of the stability work with him. I'm like, if I could get some of my Olympic lifters and some of my CrossFitters to understand this stability and rewiring concept, I think we'd have people who are a heck of a lot stronger, maybe even superhuman, if we could get this connection going.
I agree. Here's the words. I hope everybody's going to listen to this. Ready? I got four words for you. Prepare, perform, restore, repeat. I'm going to say it again. Prepare, perform, then restore, and repeat. Because here's the thing. If you learn to prepare your nervous system and your connective tissue, and then you perform whatever it is you're going to do, and you just go and do that thing, doesn't matter what it is, your routine, your training, whatever, and then you give back to the tissue, you restore it. If you do that, and then you repeat that cycle, you will spend so much less time repairing your body and recovering from your performance, so that you can actually make the gains that you want, because you're repleting your body, you're putting it back. And so what MELT can become for a lot of people is prehab, so they don't need rehab, you know, like it's a mindset thing. And I keep hearing in today's day and age that there's this brand new thing in fitness called recovery. And I was like, what? Recovery training is a whole new thing. And I'm like, I feel like I have gone to the land of fairies. Is this a new idea? But that's it. Why do we need recovery programs and these repair kind of programs? Is because we're messing people up with the philosophies of fitness, because it hasn't really changed very much from the bodybuilding mentality of the 1970s when I grew up. I mean, what epitomized health and wellness for people like Jack LaLanne and Jane Fonda. But we know so much more because technology is allowing us to understand DNA and neurotransmitters and the gut and microbiomes and all these things, but it hasn't filtered into the constructs of the fitness industry enough to really land for the people that are really needing it. But I'm telling you, if you prepare your body and you understand how to prepare fascia and your nervous system for performance, and then you restore the neurofascial system after you train, you are invariably going to spend a lot less time repairing and recovering from anything, because you're going to get injured a whole lot less. And meaning the quality of stability is going to be more accurate and precise in your body's natural healing mechanisms, because our body is designed to heal, right, is going to be functioning more efficiently. So health, according to Melt, according to me, a healthy body is one where all systems effortlessly connect, support, and maintain balance. So if you're managing chronic pain, you're not healthy. You've lost some of the quality of your health system. So if you want to lead an active, healthy, pain-free life, yeah, you have to understand what systems of the body provide stability. And look, I've never in my career, I've never heard of somebody getting a hamstring replacement, but I've certainly heard of people getting hip and knee replacements all the time. So MELT is very joint focused and not muscle focused. I don't really care about the muscles. The muscles, again, are going to come along for the ride. All movement is important. Movement is vital for muscle and motor control. But if what you want to do is acquire a more stable, healthful existence, you've got to go into your body and understand more about the nervous system and connective tissue, fascia. And again, that's why since, 2004, when I first started really presenting fascia in the fitness industry, in the conventions, I had been a fitness presenter for years before that. But in 2004, I was so excited to share this in the fitness industry. And I just remember some lady in the audience saying to me, you can't exercise your fascia. And I was like, oh my God, you guys have missed me entirely. I'm not telling you to exercise your fascia. I'm telling you to know how to care for it. It's not about exercising it. It's about enhancing its function, its architecture. And again, that's the beauty of MELT is, I mean, again, I'm a geek on neurofascial science, right? But I've had this burning desire to simplify this information down so that anybody at any age could read a book and actually understand some of the important components, the relevant components of the nervous system, the sensory nervous system and the autonomic nervous system and the regulators of stress repair and digestion in a super simple way, and understand fascia on both a structural level, on its architecture, as well as how it functions and all of the roles it provides to help us thrive in good health for a lifetime. That's my goal as a practitioner, is to share that information and the most cutting edge information that's come out from the fascial research community, which I'm happy to be a part of for two decades here.
Yeah, you even went to the conference that I was dying to go through to in Germany last year. I was like, oh man, I wish that I could have been there.
Not sure.
Oh man, it's good stuff. But let's kind of sum up for folks. I mean, you basically just summed up really well what the MELT performance book does for folks. And let's take it to the other level, because you also have MELT on demand online. Because one of the big things I hear from a lot of patients is, okay, there's a book and the book kind of explains to me what to do, but you know, I can't take you home with me and tell me what to do at 10 o'clock at night when I'm doing this right before bed. So tell us how the MELT on demand program works for folks to kind of help support the book, but also to help with education in terms of reinforcing that folks are doing things right. Because I do find a lot of people in my practice, just if they can't seem to get it right at home or in my office, they just want to quit. And I keep trying to explain that this isn't a process that you're going to get it right the first time. It takes, you're building the stability. So let's talk about that a little.
Okay. Well, first of all, just remember that self-care is a discipline. It's a practice. So you know, self-care needs to be kind of like brushing your teeth. You're brushing your teeth today so that people can stand your breath, but you're also brushing your teeth today and tomorrow to prevent tooth decay tomorrow and into the future. So we are doing things today to help, in a sense, prevent prevent things from going wrong in the future. And it does take daily self-care practice to be able to acquire that. Now, on the side of the book, I just realized, like, a lot of people, in fact, I hate to say this, don't read books. They get a lot of information just from social media. They don't read a book cover to cover. It's bizarre to me. But a book mm-hmm. will give you the rich background and a deeper understanding of what MELD performance is and how to apply it to your daily self-care practice. But you're right. One of the things that happened for me for many years, I would give my clients homework, and then they would go home and they would say, I can't remember how to do it. And that doesn't happen anymore, thank goodness, because I created MELD On Demand. And what it is a streaming platform that people can go to. And like in the MELD Performance book, there are moves, sequences, and maps. And the moves are one at a time. There's tutorials on MELD On Demand. Move by move, you can learn how to do each technique and learn the secret of how to improve stability. And the whole secret of doing MELD performance is focusing on what's staying stable the moment before you move, and to drift your mind away from what's moving and focus on what's staying stable. That's how you alter neural pathways in general. It's a trick. It's like a Jedi mind trick in your brain, is what I always say. You're forcing your brain into going off the side street, and you're forcing it to get back on the highway and stop taking a detour. And it's all just a kind of a mind game. But once you know how to do it, it works. So I created these tutorials. Then there's sequences, which is combining a number of moves in a sequence to yield a specific result. So for example, if you had neck problems, I might instruct you to do the upper body rehydrate sequence, and then a hand treatment, and then a neck release sequence, 1, 2, 3 in that order, to yield a decompression to the cervical spine to see if you could take some of the tension away from the area that's hurting you. And then we have maps, and I create maps in 3 categories: lifestyle, pain, and performance. So the lifestyle maps are for people like the desk jockey. You can, you know, if you're sitting at the desk all day long, I have a, like maps like melt for the desk sentence or melt for sleeping booty, you know, like things that are the hazards of your daily life and how to eliminate that from your daily life. Then we have pain maps. So if you had neck pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, wrist pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, an actual diagnosed problem, we also have maps specific to those types of issues. And then we also have performance maps. So we have prep maps, preparation maps that might be 10 minutes long to prepare the body for activity. And then we also have restore maps. And these are like on your recovery days, on your days off, after you've trained, where you want to bring restoration back to the body. You can learn how to do those kind of maps. We have MELD for basketball, MELD for tennis, MELD for golf, MELD for soccer, MELD for gymnast, whatever. And so people can learn it that way as well. And every single week, I put out a new video, whether it's a map or a sequence or a technique tutorial. And the beauty of that is that it keeps people in the process of continuously learning how to care for their bodies every single day. And MELD in the app is, it's kind of broken down into its own categories. And the best category is the getting started category. So somebody can go to the getting started category and be walked through the process of the 4 R's of MELD and the 2 R's of NeuroStrength, and then to learn the techniques, and then to learn the moves, and then to learn the sequences, and then learn the maps. And so it's a real step-by-step protocol that you can take at your own pace and continuously grow a very rich understanding of a self-care practice that you can carry and use for your whole life. I mean, we have young kids doing MELD who are, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, who have emotional distress or like ADD or ADHD. We have young athletes who are trying to get into the Olympics who do MELD. We've got, you know, just the weekend warriors, and of course the older adults who are looking to avoid a hip replacement and things of that nature. There's maps for everybody, and I've treated, you know, thousands of different types of disorders. And so, you know, I just am continuously adding maps to the platform so that people can continuously grow their self-care practice and enrich their lives with something that they can carry through until they're, you know, old and don't care about anything anymore.
Oh my goodness. What? I mean, this is a comprehensive program for everybody. I love it. It's easy to do, folks. I have done it for a while now, and I have patients who are melters, as I refer to them as well. And I just think, oh, Sue, this is great. I really love this new book. The performance book's great because it's really highlighting on some of the key components that I was struggling with being able to explain to a lot of my athletes, in particular my weekend warriors who just won't take care of themselves. So thank you so much for creating this book and the on-demand program, because that's been extremely helpful to be able to go, okay, now just watch Sue do it and she'll tell you all how to do it. Now, you are having some appearances here in the U.S., and some folks might be interested in finding you and going to one of your workshop events. Tell us a little bit about how they sign up, where they find out about that, and all that information.
Absolutely. So we have both online training courses for the practitioners and then live trainings that I do all over the world. Like this year, we still have like 14 events that are happening over this year. We've got thousands of instructors worldwide who also teach MELT. So for people listening, maybe if you just want to go take a live class and experience MELT, you can go to meltmethod.com, meltmethod.com, and click on Find. And you'll see the events and practitioners. If you just put your zip code in, you'll see if there's any instructors who are doing events or classes. There's lots of intro events happening. And I'm actually heading back to New York, and I'll be there for part of the summer. We've got a 7-day intensive coming up in Utah for practitioners that could take the 7-day course and get fully trained in MELT in 7 days. And we've got retreats in Utah this summer at 1440 in California in October. We'll be in Costa Rica in December. And I'm just constantly putting out information to share this message and the techniques with people. So whether you're a practitioner or just the general public wanting to engage in self-care or help clients expand their understanding, we've got everything, and you can find out everything on meltmethod.com. I'm also very vocal and always posting things on our Instagram feed under Melt Method, and of course, Facebook on our Melt Method fan page as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, if folks miss you, it's their own fault, that's for sure. And I really hope that you have enjoyed being on the podcast, and I hope that everyone has enjoyed gaining some information from Sue Hitzman. She is a wealth of knowledge, and I can't wait to see what you're going to come out with next.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure I've got at least 2 more books in me. I've only just started.
Oh, yes.
I've got a lot to do.
Well, thanks, Sue. I sincerely appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow. Sue is full of knowledge. I love her work, and she has helped me quite a bit to stay out of pain all these years, as I do love to play hard. Now, I've also integrated her work into my practice little bits at a time here with quite a few patients and seen great results. The key, though, to her work, just like she said, is you've got to spend 10 minutes a day doing the homework. Now, I know that sounds kind of a drag, but you know what? I've taken patients from after PT and after they plateaued in their athletic performance and made them even stronger, made them even more enhanced in terms of their athletic capabilities. So I highly recommend checking out her book, The MELT Performance. Now, in terms of neurostability, this is the connections in your fascial tissue and all the nerves that have to fire properly for you to adapt quickly to movements or unstable surfaces. I love this work that she's doing and added into the MELT Performance book, because this is the stuff that really gets you past the plateaus. It also helps you to prevent from falling or rolling your ankle or having little injuries around the way that can really cause some big things for you down the line. Now, of course, you will want to start with working on becoming pain-free first before you jump into the neurostability. But after you get into the neurostability work, the sky's the limit. Really, it is. And it's pretty impressive. Sue's work is just amazing. And it's not just for athletes. Really, everyone and anyone at any age, like she mentioned at the end of the podcast, it is for everybody. Anybody who wants to move better, feel better, live a long, pain-free life, the MELT method and the MELT performance books are for you. And definitely check out MELT On Demand because that's pretty amazing. I know a lot of people, I'll give them instructions on their homework and they get confused along the way, and that's where MELT Demand comes in. And she's got some great videos on there. You do not want to miss that. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. This stuff is mind-blowing in terms of how just the wrapping that wraps your joints and your tissues can have so much effect on your overall strength and ability to be pain-free. Please don't ignore this stuff. Please dive into it a little bit and try it out. I highly recommend it. I've seen it do wonders for myself and for my patients in my practice. Alrighty, health junkies, you survived another episode of The Health Fix. If you missed anything on this podcast, you can head over to drjkrausnd.com and you can get a hold of my show notes so that you can check out anything else that you want to know about Sue Hitzman and the MELT method and MELT performance. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.